Welcome back to the final part of this week's Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up in just a few minutes' time, John Fardy will be here with Screen Time. John, what's on the show this week?
Thank you, Jessica. Well, I have the great Jolie Richardson, star of things like Nip and Tuck and The Patriot. Too many credits to mention, talking about her role in Guy Ritchie's new series, The Gentleman. Also, there's a much talked about movie on Netflix, Irish Wish, starring Lindsay Lohan. I talked to her love interest in it, Ed Spellers, who's been muted as Bond over the years.
Like Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, he to an extent. And I'm also looking at the new Ethan Coen movie, Driveway Dolls, and the great Ed Smith of this parish on his favourite movie.
I love Ed Smith.
Yeah, very funny.
That's a lovely little show.
It's a lovely little show.
Have you seen Irish Wish?
Indeed I have.
Go on. Is the goss.
It's, you know, there's elements of, it's not terrible. There's elements of paddywhackery in it, but it's exactly what it says on the tin. It's Lindsay Lohan, who's a great lead now in a rom-com, being visited basically by this Irish wish that will turn her life around, and she's going to marry the man she really wants, but she actually wants another. It's a standard rom-com. It does what it says on the tin, you know.
Okay. Ever since the Oscars, I have fallen back down the Oppenheimer rabbit hole.
Yeah, I never thought you left it.
I haven't, actually, if we're being honest.
I think
here.
You're still drowning in the dark.
Do you remember a few weeks ago when we were doing our little chatty and I asked you about actors talking about the process of the movie and do you enjoy it?
Yeah.
I could watch, and in fact I have watched, Christopher Nolan speak for hours about the process and appreciating why he shoots on IMAX.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen Oppenheimer, get it, but get the IMAX version. But also, when you see someone as skillful and as knowledgeable and as passionate as Nolan speaking, I kind of found myself getting suckered into the world a little bit further.
He is the greatest living proponent of cinema. He really is. And you're right, when he talks about it, like to me, and I'm glad to hear to you, it's almost spine tingling because he is so passionate about it and he cares so deeply about all his movies. And whatever the next one is, and it's going to be big, God help us, you know, you just admire the artistry of it. And you know, something like Tenet, I wasn't the biggest fan of. I thought it was too complicated. But you completely admire the level of effort, even if you don't like every movie. And I nearly like every movie he's ever done. But he is, as I say, just the most flag waver, if that's even the correct way of describing it, for cinema. Like, he really is an enthusiast for it. And it's delightful to hear him talk about it. And there's other clips of him talking about The Dark Knight and Tenet and what's the other great movie of his?
Inception.
Because he like the stuff in that one is, again, I found elements of that too complicated.
But yeah, so did I. But I think what struck me, one of the interviews I watched as recently as this morning, he was doing like a panel with all the stars of Oppenheimer, and the interviewer was excellent because she was talking to him about appreciating the IMAX cameras, right? And he said one of the first things he decided to do with the story of Oppenheimer was take the CGI and computer effects off the table entirely, putting the onus on his head of effects to make them, like, they had to do these experiments to make it happen so that they could shoot it and obviously blow it up and make it look like ridiculous. But again, he is someone who understands and appreciates the skills and the talents of every crew member that you see on the credit roll.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible to watch.
And it's funny, I was listening to Sharon Stone on a Louis Theroux podcast talk about her time, and just these stories that come out from sets. And the story that comes out from Christopher Nolan's sets is just how good a boss, for want of a better word, he is to everybody in the, you know, for want of a change, the pecking order.
Yeah.
You know? He's just, because he cares so much about everyone's job in it, you know. And the thing is, it's great that he's had so much success, because Oppenheimer would not have been made had it not been for him, because a lot of other directors, if they had gone and said, I want to make a movie about a guy who made the bomb and it's back in the 1940s in congressional hearings, they wouldn't get funding for that. But because it's Oppenheimer, or because it's Christopher Nolan, they say yes, and God bless him for that.
My final point on Christopher Nolan, and again, I could do the entire show about him, but I just kicked John across the studio there. In that panel discussion I watched this morning, the interviewer asked about direction from Christopher Nolan, and I always wondered, like, how do people who aren't actors direct actors? Because it's like, what do you know?
Yeah.
But Cillian Murphy told this story of, in a very intense scene in Oppenheimer, he came in and he was too hot, And Christopher Nolan literally walked up and said, he is a chess player, not a boxer. And Cillian Murphy just understood instantly what that meant.
Yeah.
He needed to dial it down and to be strategic. And I just think if you're in any way interested in movie making, you could do far worse things after screen time, obviously.
Yeah, I feel like I'm being preached to.
No, but I'm passionate about it. You know, when you kind of get...
I can hear the passion.
I love when I see people who are just masters of their craft.
Yeah.
And not only do they understand it, but they can articulate it.
And when he said to him, you're too hot, as in he was too up,
he was coming in ready for a fight. Yeah, whereas actually he should have been strategic. Like he's an intellectual guy.
Mm.
So he wasn't going to go head to head.
Yeah.
He was going to go brain to your man's head and win ultimately because of how he thought and whatever. And I just think the ability to articulate things like that in such a subtle way.
Yeah.
And Cillian Murphy clearly found it a profound bit of direction because it then altered his performance.
Spoken like a true movie enthusiast yourself.
Can I host your show, actually? Can I just do an hour-long Christopher Nolan special? John will be here in just a few minutes' time. But don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast right now as well if you want. John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right, before we get to the mailbag, I want to tell you about a podcast that I have been hooked on over the last number of days. It's called Who Trolled Amber? And it delves into a very sinister undercurrent that was rumbling away when the court case of Amber Heard and Johnny Depp was ongoing last year. It's produced by Tortoise Media, who have made some excellent podcasts over the years. And it looks at the social media response to the trial and asks if a coordinated campaign of hate was orchestrated against Amber Heard. Take a listen.
A violent, predatory narcissist have when they are desperate to control their victims.
Your voice is gone, Amber Heard. Die, bitch.
The scale of the attacks was staggering. Between 2016 and 2022, more than 800,000 tweets were posted with the hashtag Amber Heard is an abuser. Only 15,000 tweets used the hashtag Johnny Depp is an abuser, even though she was the one accusing him of abuse. And that wasn't all. Tens of thousands of posts across social media called Amber a gold digger, a whore, and much worse.
I'm coming for you when you get out of court.
A lot of that hate came from real people. Johnny Depp has some really devoted fans, and they do not like Amber Heard.
Who wants to join me in my expedition to brutally murder Amber Heard?
But Daniel also noticed that many of the online attacks came from accounts that seemed less than human. Accounts with odd names, which seemed to be acting in a coordinated way, as if someone was controlling their movements, like the conductor of a giant orchestra.
Yeah, that's a snippet of Who Trolled Amber, produced by Tortoise Media, and I would highly recommend it if you are looking for a podcast. And as ever, if you have any recommendations for me, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. And a lot of people have been getting in touch on that email. Let's take a look at some of your questions. Jonathan has been in touch saying, hi Jess, can't find the recent programme that you were chatting to PK regarding a mesh system. What was the brand you were recommending? This is by far the most asked question I get. The Wi-Fi mesh system I recommended is the Tenda Nova MW3. This is a very affordable, very easy to install mesh system that creates essentially a Venn diagram of connectivity around your home, meaning that you're not going to have any black spots, basically. It's great and it's affordable and I would very much recommend it. Next, Angie has been on saying, hi Jess, I'm looking to buy a home CCTV system and I'm wondering what you would advise. I have a Google Home with a screen on it in my kitchen. Is there a system that would connect to that? Yes, Angie, Google make very impressive, very high quality, very easy to set up again. Home security, home monitoring system. It's a little bit pricey, but it does work very well and it would indeed connect to your Google Nest with the screen on it. So you can get indoor cameras, you can get outdoor cameras, you can get a doorbell. All of them are up on the Google website. So if you go to the Google store on a browser and if you look at the products, you will see all the different bits and pieces there. They are very easy to install. They connect via the Google Home app, which is the app that I assume you are working off with the Google device that's in your kitchen. So you just basically add extra devices, whether it's one camera or three cameras or two cameras and a doorbell. You just add them. The content is there. You don't have to sign up to the subscription service associated with it. You can basically utilize them for free once you've bought them. And I think it's up to 4 hours that you can watch back. So if someone walks into your garden, you can see in a 4 hour window, you get a notification first and foremost, or you can just scan through and see if someone has been there. If you want to get the full suite of videos stored in the cloud, then you do have to pay for that. But for most people, it's just to see if someone's in the garden and you're in the back garden, or if the doorbell rings, being able to check it remotely and so on. But the Google system is very impressive. My parents have it and highly rate it. So there you go. Final question for this week is from Johnny. He says, I'm looking for a waterproof and fairly rugged phone at a mid-tier price point. The two I have in mind are the Motorola Moto Edge 40 Neo or the Nokia X30G 5G smartphone. I haven't tested the Motorola one, but I have tested the Nokia one. There's actually a video of it from last year up on our YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and if you search News Talk Tech Bytes, you will find my review. It's an incredibly rugged phone and we tried to break it and we couldn't. So I have tested that and I can stand over that it is a good phone. The Motorola one, again, on paper looks impressive, but I haven't tested it myself. So I, Nokia would be my preference. If you want to get in touch with any questions, queries, or whatever it is, you can email me techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram @JessKellyNT. But that's it from me this week. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back in full on the News Talk app powered by GoLoud.